Let's talk some Eagle football here with our man. He's brought to us by Univest Bank and Trust. And, of course, Sal Pantonio covers the NFL like nobody else with ESPN. And we have a situation right now. Yeah. Sal, is it possible that the Eagles will be a playoff team?
Possible.
Possible. What is the likelihood, do you think?
Not bloody likely.
Not bloody likely. And that's because the schedule is daunting.
That's my Kramer cocky accent.
That's pretty good. I like it.
That's
right. I like it. So let's go with that. Not bloody likely.
All right, let's look at it. I mean, you know, first of all, 9 guys on IR.
Yeah.
Second of all, you're playing the toughest schedule. Timmy Mack got a piece on ESPN.com.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier today. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, they got the toughest schedule. They got to play 4 division leaders, including the Redskins twice. The Redskins don't scare me. You know, and truthfully, the Cowboys down in Dallas don't really scare me either, mm-hmm. and the Giants certainly don't. So, I mean, you could get 4 wins right there, Mike. And, you know, I think it's not likely, but it's not impossible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, here's the problem. People want to blame Carson Wentz. I'm just listening to that young man, Travis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, are there issues with Carson Wentz? Yes. Is he the problem? No. He's the best player on your team right now.
Yes, I agree.
Let me repeat that very simple sentence. Carson Wentz is the best player on your team right now. I'm going to go a little bit further. Carson Wentz is the best player in the division right now. Mm-hmm. He's certainly within the top 3 or tied for the top 3 players in the conference right now. So, you know, lay off Carson Wentz. Does he have problems? Yeah. But it's not his fault. Here's Michael. They have no speed in the secondary. You watch them. I went back and I looked at that Dallas game. There are so many guys who are wide open, either through miscommunication in the secondary,
mm-hmm.
or no catch-up speed, no make-up speed in the secondary, no ability to play press coverage. I mean, I like Rasul Douglas. I think he's really tough. I think he's a fierce competitor. But he is not a starting outside corner in the National Football League. He's not, especially on a Super Bowl contender. And, you know, he's been put in a very difficult position. To me, you know, he's an in-the-box safety because he'll hit you all day long. But he's not an outside corner, especially one-on-one. You know, you go back to that 3rd-and-8. Dak Prescott converts it so easily to Allen Hurns.
He beat him by 5 yards on a little hit. Yeah, I know the play you're talking about. He cleared him by 5 yards on that play.
Because he was playing outside leverage. If the guy was wide open on the inside. And then when he makes his move, you know, the man has got he's not a gifted,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
Outside corner with great speed. Is he going to stick his head in there? Is he going to fight and compete like nobody's business? Absolutely. But so, and then you go back, they're just undermanned in the secondary. And Malcolm Jenkins, you know, God love him, he's out there babysitting everybody. You got to go over here, you're over here. No, you're here. Make sure you're over here. Calling out signals. Calling the defense. Making sure guys are lined up in the right spot all the time. He can't do it by himself. No Sidney Jones, now no Ronald Darby. And this is the reason why they allowed Dallas to come back, not once, but twice in the 4th quarter. Mm-hmm. They don't have closing speed at the NFL level, and they have miscommunications, and it's bad in the secondary. The secondary is the number one problem on the team. And in today's National Football League, Michael, the way the game is being played and the way some of these superior teams – and Dallas is not even a superior team, but now they're about to go play a superior team in New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they play pinball football, okay? It's, you know, it's like playing electric football. So, you know, they're going to have problems down in New Orleans big time. Big, big, big time. And the only way they can possibly keep the score close is to play keep away on offense, ball control offense. That's the only way.
But that's not the type of team they have. Ball control, a ball control offense team, because they can't run it.
Well, you know, they got to learn. They got 6 days.
All right, let's take it back to the start of the game, where they looked completely, like, not energized. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, most of the
sure
people
did.
That watched
the
that
bench
game.
The bench was dead. I was there. I watched it. Matter of fact, I turned to my producer midway through the first quarter, and I was watching from the press box with the binoculars, and guys were just sitting on their hands on the bench.
Why is that? I mean, they're coming off a bye. They're playing the Cowboys at home. It's a must-win situation. I don't understand the no urgency offensively that they started the game with. I understand their defensive problems, but offensively, no urgency.
Yeah, and you know, I was on the field with Doug Peterson before the game, you know, because he had sent me that text message earlier in the day, which I reported on SportsCenter and on Countdown, about, you know, you got to throw everything out. It's Cowboys, it's Eagles, 60 minutes of physical football. And I walked out onto the field with Doug before the game, and he was watching Sidney Jones work out. I mean, he knew Sidney Jones was going to play, but he wanted to see him run because, you know, he was hoping he could have him back for New Orleans. And I started talking. It was just me and him, one-on-one. And he said, "This kind of game scares me." I'm like, "Why, Coach?" He said, "Because with New Orleans, you know what you're going to get. With the Cowboys, we have no idea what we're going to get." And I was really shocked by that. I went and I reported it on Channel 6 with Deuces Rogers and Jamie Apodi. And I thought that was really fascinating to me. I was kind of shocked that he said that. It just gave me an indication of what kind of trepidation they had going into that game. And then from that point on, I was like, okay. I got you. Now I know we're going to have a ball game here.
All right, how much blame does the head coach? People are ripping the head coach as far as him calling plays. You know, the old thing that they needed the two guys and they lost, and this is really what Doug Peterson is. How much heat should be on him right now?
Yeah, well, I think a lot for sure. And you know me, I'm the number one Doug Peterson apologist in the Delaware Valley. Have always been. I don't want to draw any major conclusions at all. I don't want to paint any big picture at all. Zero. Why? Because, you know, we're only 10 months away from winning the Super Bowl. So, you know, you got to look at the body of work right now, and the body of work says Doug Peterson won the first Super Bowl title in Eagles history. Okay, so that gets you a lot of coin. There's a lot of capital in the bank, as far as I'm concerned. But it's an unpardonable sin, literally, and I don't mean that figuratively, an unforgivable sin to come off the bye at 4-4, knowing you have 8 games ahead of you with a chance to win the division, and lose to the Cowboys at home on national TV the way you did. And that all falls on the coach, and he knows it. He feels it. I mean, he was as frosty as you could get after the game. I saw him. He didn't want any parts of talking to nobody. It took him forever to come out and do the post-game press conference. He didn't have anything to say. And then he stood there, and he took all the questions. And when you saw him take all the questions in the post-game press conference, he understood it was time. He was tied to the whipping post at that point, and he had no answers. He understands that it's on him. It's certainly not on Carson. It's on him, for sure, and Schwartz, for sure, and the fact that you're undermanned in the second.
Let's talk about the Schwartz thing, because today he defended playing at the Stetson.
Did I answer your question about Peterson?
Absolutely.
You need to have a bifurcation here. You need to understand. I think if people are listening to this, and I know that they are because, you know, I've been listening to your program for the last 2 days, and people are calling in, and there's a lot of soul searching. And I'm out there, and I'm talking to people, and that's the words they're using, a lot of soul searching. So think of what Peterson brought you and understand the big picture. But at the same token, there's no way you can lose that game Sunday night the way you lost it.
Totally agree. All right, now the other side of the football, because you know the heat is probably more on this guy. Jim Schwartz defending playing at the sticks. Now, I know he doesn't have the personnel to push up now, but he's always been a play at the sticks type of guy. How much heat should he be taking for what they're doing defensively?
Well, Mike, you know how I feel. I think he doesn't blitz enough. Mm-hmm. I've always said that. You know, if Brandon Graham doesn't sack Tom Brady in that Super Bowl game, Jim Schwartz would be in the witness protection program right now.
Yeah, wow.
He just would. I mean, he gave up 600 yards of offense to the Patriots in Super Bowl 52, and they still won the game. So you know how I feel about it. I don't think he's aggressive enough. I was listening to Seth Joyner, who I think is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, Seth Joyner said that he believes that Jim Schwartz is too passive in the defense he calls. And I could not agree more.
Yeah, and he also said that the team takes on the personality of a guy, and if he's passive, they're going to be passive. All right, so...
I was always all in on Buddy Ryan's defense, you know.
All right, let me, I'm going to leave you with this because I've gone through this tiebreaker and I don't know if you've heard it. This is the best case scenario. 9-7 and they win a tiebreaker, right? So that means they have to sweep the rest of the NFC East, which you think is not out of line, that they could beat Washington twice and win that game against Dallas to get to 9-7. The head-to-head doesn't apply. The best one-loss percentage in division games knocks out the Redskins because they beat them twice. Now we go to common games. So the most important game on the schedule then would be the Texans because the Cowboys have already lost to the Texans. So the game comes down. If we think they can sweep the division, if they beat the Texans, they can win the division at 9-7.
Yeah, I've seen those numbers. But to me, Mike, the most important thing right now is what is today? Today's Tuesday, right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Go out and have a practice tomorrow. Go out and have a good, solid practice with energy tomorrow. Do that. And then Thursday, have a better one. And Friday, have a plan. And Saturday, go to New Orleans and compete. And that's, to me, the most important thing in front of this football team right now. Is because you really honestly hit the nail on the head. Anybody who was watching that game, and even the stadium was dead in the first quarter on Sunday night.
Yes, they were.
Yeah, it was, the stadium was dead because the team was dead. You know, it was all went together. So they need to re-energize, have a sense of urgency, and prove that they want to play football in, at the NFL level and compete. Right from the get-go. And not, because, you know what was interesting to me, Mikey? So, you look at Ertz and Kelsey and Chris Long and Fletcher and Malcolm and the way they came out of that second half, that halftime locker room, and they were ready to tear the building down. They were angry. They were really angry. And then it just all fizzled away. And I asked Doug that question. If you go back to that Sunday press conference, that was the one question I asked him. I said, what happened to that energy? And he said, I don't know. So they got to figure that part out. They had the energy, and they just allowed the Cowboys to come back, not once but twice. Two long drives.
Ridiculous. And then that drive before the half was bad, too.
Doug conspired to help them out there with those timeouts.
Yeah.
That was not good. But, you know, you can't have Dak Prescott come in and have two long drives like that at home in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, no question. All right, the South Pal Football Hour tonight.
Yes.
It's live from Ocean Prime. I know that's one of your favorite spots as well.
Yes, we will have a live report right at the top about the Saints-Eagles game for one of the biggest experts on the Saints nationally that there is. And then we will have Vince Papale, Mr. Invincible, on. And he's a good friend of Doug Peterson, and I want to go into the mind of what's going on with Dougie P. As we'll talk about Vince Papale's new book. And then Stephen A. Smith will join the program.
Oh, Stephen A. live on the South Pal Football Hour. Oh, nice. All right. Well, we have a lot to look forward to tonight. All right. Have a good show, buddy.
Thank you, man.
All right. There he is, Sal Powell. And he is brought to us by Univest Bank and the power of financial solutions for your business.